Welcome to AM 620 KDOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KDOJ and 620KDOJ.com.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman,
truth in broadcasting.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Hey, happy Friday. Juma Mubarak, Shabbat Shalom, or Good Shabbos, TGIF, whatever it may be for you. It's Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend. It is a marvelous day, and I'm back home in Portland, by the way. I was in New York Monday through Thursday, got home last night at midnight, and here I am, and, a tip of the hat to United Airlines getting me here safely. And but because it's Friday, of course, as it has been for many, many years on this program, our first hour always, for many people, are the favorite segment of the show, certainly one of mine, our Brunch with Bernie, Senator Bernie Sanders, his website, sanders.senate.gov, a great newsletter he has there, always a lot of good news, and the only, well, not the only independent member of the House, or the Senate now, he used to be the only independent member of the House, the independent member of this, the United States Senate from Vermont, neither a Democrat nor a Republican. He will be taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Bernie, welcome.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Great to have you, as always. The middle class is getting whacked. I'm seeing in the Financial Times today a headline that housing sales now are back where they were almost 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, we didn't have anywhere near as many people. So while it may look bad as a percentage or in real numbers, it's actually worse. The middle class is just going down in flames.
Well, you know, despite what Bush has been saying for many, many years about the economic growth that's taking place in this country and how robust the economy is and all that stuff, I think ordinary people understand that what's been happening now for a number of years in many, many ways is the middle class, in fact, has been collapsing. And you see that with the increase in poverty. You see that with millions of Americans losing their health insurance, people losing their pensions. Median family income is significantly below today where it was when Bush first came in. You're seeing basically the people on top, richest 1% or even 0.1%, making out like bandits while so many other people are struggling. And what's been happening in the last few months with the housing crisis, with the bursting of the housing bubble, with high gas prices, is suddenly where people were struggling, now they're going over the edge. And as I mentioned to you last week, Tom, we have something up on our website, sanders.senate.gov. We just ask people, say, tell us what the collapse of the middle class means to you. We thought we'd get a few dozen responses. We're now over 600 responses, and if you read some of them, and they're up on the website, they really break your heart. Frankly, I can't read more than 5 or 10 in a row because it's just too depressing and too frightening. And I think when people are now trying to figure out how they're going to heat their homes next winter and they're old, they don't know how they're going to do that. Workers in rural states like Vermont who may have to travel 50, 100 miles to and from their jobs, you know what? All of the increase they may have gotten in their wages, and many of them did not get an increase, they're going right into that gas tank. Truckers are going out of business. They can't afford the outrageously high prices. And I think there's a sense of fear pervading the country right now, what's going on and what will happen next year. And certainly in terms of the White House, you have people there who haven't even a clue of what's going on, let alone a solution. So what I have been, for a start, urging the Senate to begin doing is start addressing this crisis in high gas prices. Let's look at why, at a time when people are now paying $3.50, $3.60 for a gallon of gas, ExxonMobil and the other oil companies are enjoying record-breaking profits. Let's take a look at what hedge fund managers and these people who are speculating on oil futures are doing to oil prices. There's a lot of evidence out there by very knowledgeable people that says that these speculators are significantly driving up oil prices. I think we got to take a hard look at OPEC. I just did a press conference yesterday with some folks who were saying, here it is in 1991, we went to war to defend Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And today, Saudi Arabia is producing less oil than they did several years ago, which has an impact on driving prices up. And then they want us to sell them some of the most sophisticated aircraft in the world. Well, maybe we should rethink that. Maybe we should demand that they start producing more oil. I think it's time to look at things like a windfall profits tax. I think we should be taking oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But basically, I think we've got to let the speculators and the oil industry understand that enough is enough. You can't have hedge fund guys making billions of dollars and CEOs at ExxonMobil and the other oil companies making huge profits and huge compensation packages while the middle class is getting screwed in this country.
Well, we saw this thing with Enron, you know, where they jacked energy prices up in California. And at the time, all the Republicans, all the conservative talking points, and frankly, much of the media were simply saying, oh, it's just supply and demand. What you're seeing is the marketplace. California wasn't looking forward enough. They didn't build enough power plants.
Right.
And what we know now is that it was being, you know, they were shutting down power plants. It was actually being operated out of a boiler room here in Portland, Oregon, you know, with that awful audio of, you know, let's get Grandma Millie and
right.
all that kind of
right.
stuff. And what I'm hearing in some of the investment newsletters that I subscribe to and some of the people that you know are willing to talk to me on kind of back channel is that because of the deregulation of commodity markets in 2000, the last year of the Clinton administration,
exactly.
that perhaps as much as half of the cost of oil and rice right now has nothing to do with actual supply and demand. It has to do with commodity markets being manipulated so that people can make huge profits.
That is exactly what I'm hearing. And I don't claim to be an expert on it, but that is exactly what I'm hearing. And there's an effort now in Congress to do what we call close the Enron loophole. And if I'm not mistaken, things change very quickly. But that, in fact, may be on the floor of the Senate this coming week. And we have people like Carl Levin of Michigan and Dianne Feinstein of California who have been pushing this, as well as Maria Cantwell of Washington and I and a number of other people, want some serious effort being done to end the speculation. And you're right. One of the problems that we have is nobody knows what goes on within hedge funds because it is deregulated and they operate in secrecy. What we do know is that some of these hedge fund guys are making literally billions of dollars, and there is every reason to believe that some of that money is coming as a result of speculating on oil prices.
And they were doing it with real estate, you know,
exactly.
2 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, it is one thing to say, you know, it costs money to produce oil, right? You got to dig for oil, you got to refine the oil, you have to transport the oil. That costs money. How much? Mm-hmm. We don't know. Does the oil company tell? Does ExxonMobil tell us the truth? No. But it costs money to do that. But that's it's another thing for people to be just speculating on oil futures, not producing an ounce of oil and making billions of dollars. So this is an issue that the Senate and the House have got to look at, have got to open up. There has got to be transparency there, and we've got to deal with this issue.
Amen. Amen. And gas prices, the middle class squeeze, right across the board. And the ongoing war against labor, the card check came to the floor of the Senate, actually had a majority of votes, but the Republicans, Harry Reid backed down on the filibuster thing with the Republicans. This hopefully will be at the forefront in the next legislative session.
Look, I think if you just take a deep breath and you try to take a look at what's happening in our country today, and this is something that the corporate media doesn't do, but we have to do it. Why is it that despite a huge explosion of technology and an increase in worker productivity, why is the middle class sinking? And why is it, everything being equal, that unless we change fundamentally our economic policies, our kids are going to have a lower standard of living than we do? If you look at healthcare right now, did you see you must have seen the articles that appeared where in a number of counties in America today, women are living shorter lives. Their longevity is declining. Life expectancy is going down in the United States of America. Unbelievable. What you are seeing is the loss of good in Detroit, which used to be in the automobile industry. That used to be the beacon, the best blue-collar jobs in America. What's happening now is the auto industry is buying out the older workers with a reasonable contract and hiring new workers at half the pay. And if Detroit is going to be paying blue-collar workers $14 an hour, well, you know what? That's going to be the case all over America. Forget about $20 an hour jobs in blue-collar. And then, you know, in my website, people are writing to me and they're saying, you know, I've lost my job because my white-collar job has now gone to India. So I think when you add all of these things together, with the current crisis in oil prices, with the current crisis where people's house value of their homes are declining, where interest rates are 20, 25, 30%, there is a real fear in this country. And it just seems to me that if there ever was a time for us in the Senate to begin to stand up for the middle class and take on the big money interest, that's what the American people want. They want it right now.
Amen. Amen. Senator Bernie Sanders with us, sanders.senate.gov is his website. Our number, 866-303-2270. Bernie will be taking your calls right after the break. TomHartmann.com, AirAmerica.com, our websites.
Tom Hartmann. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartmann Program. You're tuned to Tom Hartmann Nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KDOJ and 620KDOJ.com. The Stanley Cup Playoffs on NBC. Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins rolled through the first round. But now they're up against the red-hot Rangers in the Eastern Conference semifinal. Catch Game 2 Sunday at 2 Eastern.
And the Rangers are hitting 4-3.
The Penguins, the Rangers. It's Game 2 Sunday at 2 Eastern, 1 Central, 11 a.m. Pacific. Check your local listings for station in your area. The Stanley Cup Playoffs on NBC. The Cup changes everything.
For far too long, our government has failed American workers. Bad trade deals negotiated by Bill Clinton and George Bush, like NAFTA and CAFTA, have sent millions of jobs overseas, created enormous trade deficits, and left a wake of devastation across our great nation. The Teamsters Union is fighting for America's workers. It's time to scrap these bad trade deals and start over. It's time to create good jobs in America. It's time for a change in Washington. Visit Teamster.org to learn more about Teamsters for Change.
Sundays are very special days at AM 620 KPOJ. For you early risers, it's the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Keep Hope Alive at 5. After KPOJ's Sunday Morning Magazine, it's Radical Russ Belleville from 8 to 10, followed by Radio Nation with Laura Flanders and Rachel Maddow on the weekend. From 1 to 4, it's Sam Cedar on Sunday, then Peter B. Collins and Lionel. Yep, Sundays are definitely special. At Portland's only progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm Tiger Woods. I had LASIK at TLC Laser Eye Centers, and the results were fantastic.
Call TLC today at 888-TLC-2020 for your free LASIK consultation or schedule online at LASIK.com. That's 888-TLC-2020.
All right, roomie. Aluminum cans go here, and this is our new coin jar. Our lavish lifestyle can't continue.
Hello, dude. I'm trying to enjoy breakfast.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gas prices rise, the dollar falls, and you just...
Dine on McDonald's breakfast dollar menu, yeah.
McDonald's breakfast dollar menu. From the fruit and yogurt parfait to the savory sausage biscuit. Wake up to choices that only cost a buck.
See? I'm good with money.
Then where's the rent?
Rent? You want one of my hash browns?
Price and participation may vary.
Sometimes I roll out of bed, and for the life of me, I can't find my morning. I had it yesterday, but now not so much. But if I head down to McDonald's and look in a McSkillet burrito, I usually find it. Sometimes it's in the scrambled eggs, sometimes it's in those skillet potatoes or cheese or savory sausage. One time it was in the zesty salsa. And that's what's great about a McSkillet burrito. I know my morning is in that soft, warm flour tortilla somewhere. And I do love to look. At participating McDonald's.
We love discovering something new, finding adventure in the everyday, and feeling like we're part of something bigger than traffic. We love having the room of an SUV in a vehicle you can still parallel park. That's why we love the Subaru Forester. The Forester features an all-new design inside and out, and more horsepower than a Honda CR-V. And as a 2008 IIHS top safety pick, the Subaru Forester is an appealing mix of everything you need. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
The all-new 2009 Subaru Forester is well-equipped starting at $19,995. Visit your local Subaru dealer for a test drive today or go to Subaru.com to learn more. MSRP excludes destination and delivery charges, tax, title, and registration fees. Dealer sets actual price. Based on manufacturer's website data as of April 2008 for the 2009 Subaru Forester 2.5X and 2008 Honda CR-V LX. Top safety picks include the 2009 Subaru Forester.
And the pitch.
Dave just pitched a tomato, which won't work. But a healthy, vegetable-filled diet could give you energy to hit that grand slam. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Where's all the freedom that we're fighting for? Is it still our creed from shore to shore? After a soldier fights, should we read him his new rights? There's not that many to read anymore. Where's all the freedom that we're fighting for?
Well, we're still fighting for it. We'll get it back. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program on Air America Radio. Our brunch with Bernie Hour. Senator Bernie Sanders taking your calls at 866-303-2270. And let's see here. Chuck in San Jose, California. You're on the air listening to KGRNK, Green 960. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you. Good morning, Senator Sanders.
Good morning, Chuck.
I appreciate, I'm sure many do, that you're out there and you're willing to take these calls at random like this. I would like to know, if it's possible, or do we have to do something to pass a new law where we can roll back this profiteering, the privateering of the military and whatnot? And also, is there some way to put together something against some of these people in power and out of power that would be considered racketeering, like the RICO Act?
Yeah. Good, very good question, Chuck. As I think many of the listeners know, what Bush is trying to do is privatize in almost every area of our government. And that's certainly true in the domestic area as well as in the military as well. And what we're seeing being created are companies like Blackwater and other companies where in this case of Blackwater, soldiers are being paid five times, eight times more than people in the U.S. military to do the kind of work that the American military has traditionally done. And that's just
you mean the armed, essentially mercenaries at Blackwater,
right,
as opposed to the U.S. soldiers.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just a terrible thing for a dozen different reasons. We're also seeing these no-bid contracts going out to KBR and to Halliburton and to other companies, and I think there's a lot of evidence and a lot of investigations which suggest that they are ripping off the taxpayers of this country big time. There is very little accountability. So to answer Chuck's question, there have been efforts to start holding some of these companies accountable. You may recall, Tom, that a couple of months ago there came out just one of many, many scandals where some 22-year-old fellow had started a new company in which he had a $300 million contract with the DOD selling munitions to the Afghanistan Army, which turned out to be 40-year-old weapons and bullets which no longer actually even functioned. And you're seeing this all over the place. So to answer Chuck's question, there is an enormous amount of waste and fraud taking place in the military, and it certainly is an area that has to be looked at.
Amen. Margaret in Bainbridge, Wyland, Washington. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Oh, great. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to both of you this morning. I've never called in before. But I put biodiesel in my car, and something's come up recently. I've wanted to talk to you because you were saying this morning about the manipulation of energy markets, talking about
commodity markets. Yeah.
Enron and Exxon, and the price in biodiesel has been pretty volatile and has gone up way above petroleum. But we continue to buy it because it's best for the environment. And they're telling us that the volatility there may be due to people speculating in the commodities market, and my suspicious brain says that perhaps there are people who don't want to see alternative energies, which are our future, be grown and nurtured into the main energy market, and they're preventing those businesses from flourishing. They may even be trying to, well, there's a new plant out on the coast here on Washington, and they've sold their product out for less than they have to pay for the materials to make the biodiesel.
Well,
on contracts, the way, you know, Enron did.
Well, I think, Margaret, we're dealing with a number of issues. Certainly from the traditional energy companies, the oil industry, the coal industry, there is, in fact, in my view, a massive opposition to moving this country away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and to sustainable energy. I think the potential for solar is just extraordinary. I have talked to executives who tell us that we can produce a very substantial amount of the electricity that our country needs by building what are called solar thermal plants in the Mojave Desert, in Nevada, in New Mexico, where the sun is very optimum. And you can do this in a very cost-effective way. But you're having tremendous opposition from the coal industry and the oil industry to that. On the other hand, in terms of speculation, I think we're probably going to have to look at some of these hedge fund managers who operate in secret, who appear to be making just incredible profits in ways that we're not quite sure because they don't have to be transparent. And there are many people, as Tom just said a moment ago, who see that they are playing a very important and negative role in driving oil and gas prices as high as they are.
And the result of it is that biofuels are being vilified.
Right. No, that's right.
27 minutes past the hour. Senator Bernie Sanders on the line with us taking your calls at 866-303-2270 here on the Tom Hartman Program on Air America Radio. Our brunch with Bernie, our sanders.senate.gov.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270. You're listening to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KBOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
When the paycheck just ain't stretching like it might have once before, 'cause good jobs are all gone, left you in some big box store. Between food and rent and medicine, seems the suit's frayed a little bit more. When the bosses cut that last corner, they walk out of those doors. When the truckers hauling sweatshop stuff won't stop there anymore. When the folks won't cross your pickets 'cause their boat's the same as yours. That is one big union.
34 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program, powered in part by Teamsters for Change. It is time for a change in Washington. Find out more at Teamster.org. It's our brunch with Bernie, our Senator Bernie Sanders on the line with us, taking your calls at 866-303-2270. His website, sanders.senate.gov. He's got a great newsletter there as well. Our website, if you want to drop into our live chat room, tomhartman.com and airamerica.com. Julie in Santa Barbara, California. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, good morning, Congressman Sanders and Lionel. How are you?
Good. How are you, Julie?
It's Senator Sanders and Tom.
Congressman. Sorry. I'm just piping mad of what's going on in our primary elections where the GOPs are, devoted GOPs are crossing over and voting for Hillary Clinton. And my question is to Congressman Sanders is, are the super delegates aware of this, that Hillary is not getting all these votes that she's so smug about? I mean, 100 GOPs have switched over in Ohio race, according to the Boston Globe, 117 in the Texas race, who knows in the Pennsylvania race. And this also indicates, I mean, it tries to indicate, to prove a point, the Republicans and Hillary Clinton saying that Obama doesn't reach the blue-collar workers and the working class, which isn't the case. He does. But the Republicans, as usual, are cheating in the elections, and now they're cheating in our elections.
Thank you, Julie.
Are the superdelegates aware of
this? Well, these superdelegates are pretty sophisticated political people, so my guess is they are very aware of everything that is going on. As I have said before, as an independent, I'm not going to get involved in the Democratic primary. The day after the Democrats select their candidate, I will be very, very strongly supporting that candidate, because I think that four more years of George Bush's policies with the McCain presidency would be just unimaginable and horrendous for this country. I should also say that I am not happy. I mean, I think you can have a highly contested primary where one is focusing on the issues and not with the kind of negativity that we are seeing, especially from the Clinton campaign. And I find that disturbing. We can have a real debate on real issues. We can educate the American people. The truth is that on the issues, there really is not a huge amount of difference between Clinton and Obama. But the negativity mostly coming from Clinton's campaign, I see, is destructive and something that I hope will be rectified.
Yeah, I'm asking them, tell me why I should vote for you, not why I shouldn't vote for the other guy.
Right.
Or tell me why I should vote for you instead of John McCain. If you're going to tell me why I shouldn't vote for somebody, tell me why I shouldn't vote for McCain. Indeed. Don in Delaware, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
Hi, Bernie. Couple questions. This is about Iran. Earlier this week, John Ritter was on Stephanie Miller talking about the missile, bunker-busting missiles with the new tips are going to be ready by the end of April.
I think that was
Scott. The B-1s are ready. The bases are ready. Now you have Petraeus being promoted. Admiral Fallon was talking about earlier that we need to do something now or later about Iran, and Tom was talking about Cheney being over in Saudi Arabia and the Saudi government buying stuff for a nuclear fallout.
Well, obviously, there are many of us in the Congress who understand that a war with Iran would be an unmitigated disaster, which, among many other things, would probably lead to a world depression with complete disruption in oil production. I have introduced legislation which makes it very, very clear that before the president can take any action against Iran, he has to come to the Congress, and if he came to the Congress, he would not get the authority to do that. And many of us are doing everything that we can. I mean, we got a disaster in Iraq. We have an increasingly dangerous situation in Afghanistan. It is beyond comprehension that this president would then get us into a third war. So we will do everything we can to prevent that from happening.
Linda in Cleveland, Ohio. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yes, hi. I would like to apply a little bit of big-picture thinking to the economy. Here's what I think, that what is happening is the denouement of the class war. The bandits are winning, and they're stealing from the poor to give to the rich. So we see in the past 7 years the largest income redistribution of wealth in the history of the world, from the 99% to the 1%. And if we could judge intentions from results, we can only conclude that according to the corporatocracy, everything is going according to plan. So no working person should ever, ever again vote for any Republican. So, Senator Sanders, what can we the people do to turn back the tide of corporate tyranny?
Okay. Well, Linda, you've asked a very profound and important question, and I think you're exactly right. And certainly we don't, as a nation, discuss this. This is not part of our conversation. We spend more time worrying about the lapel that Obama wears, lapel pin that Obama wears or doesn't wear, or who his minister was. And all of that is a very intentional effort to deflect our attention away from the reality of what's happening in American life. And Linda is exactly right. There has been a huge redistribution of wealth from the middle class to the upper income people. And we have a situation today where the top one-tenth of 1% earn more income than do the bottom 50%, and the United States has by far the most unequal distribution of wealth and income of any major country on earth, and our policies resemble increasingly Mexico, Brazil, Russia, rather than other industrialized countries. So Linda put her finger right on that point. And what Republicans have been very clever with their friends of the corporate media in doing is engaging the American people in all kinds of issues other than the important issues. And it's not just redistribution of wealth. It is, why are we the only nation in the industrialized world that does not have a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people, despite the fact that we spend twice as much money as any other country. Why are our people today, in many instances, paying 25 or 30% in interest rates on their credit card? Because we had a Supreme Court decision that Congress has not yet overcome, deregulating interest rates in this country. Why do we have a military-industrial complex? And we talked about this a moment ago, in which we're spending, forget the war in Iraq, we're spending $515 billion on the military. Well, how much of that is really going to the important fight in combating international terrorism, doing the kinds of things we need to do, as opposed to making defense contractors wealthy? How much waste and fraud is there within the defense industry? And there's a huge amount. So there is so much to discuss, but the most important question to my mind is how we create an economy that works well for all of our people rather than just a handful on top, and how we manage not to be deflected away from that serious debate into all kinds of other things, whether it's, you know, gay marriage or whether it's abortion or whether it is, you know, the size of the lapel pin that Barack Obama is wearing and all the other stuff that's going to be coming down the pike. We've got to stay focused on the real issues. And I want to say there's some good news out there, that we can, in fact, transform this economy. If people look at the huge amount of money we have given in tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires, the huge amount of money that we're spending in Iraq, $12 billion every month, the huge amount of money we're spending on unnecessary weapon systems and waste and fraud in the military, if we use that money to rebuild the middle class, we can begin to tackle our infrastructural problems. We can make college education affordable to all people. We can provide child care and preschool education high quality to working families in this country. We can pass legislation which enables workers to form unions so they can negotiate effectively with their employers. We can end, I noticed the Teamster commercial a few moments ago about the need to revamp our disastrous trade policies. Absolutely, yep. Right. We have got to demand that corporate America start investing in this country rather than in China where they're paying people 50 cents an hour. You could do those things. But this is a political question. It's taking on the big money interests, taking on all of their lobbyists, all of their campaign contributions. So to answer Linda's question, what we have got to do is go out to our friends and our neighbors, have them work, have working people focus on the real issues impacting their lives, fight for a progressive agenda, and elect those people at all levels of government who are going to support that agenda.
Bottom line, it's not enough to vote anymore.
No, you got to do more, and we can do it. The American people are hungry for change, and we can bet your bottom dollar that the Republican Party and the corporate media will do every single thing that they can to deflect attention from the real issues.
And these are the real issues. It's just this is the point. And we've just got 20 seconds here, Bernie, so I'm not going to bring another caller on because until after the break. But that issue that it's not enough to vote. I think a lot of people think that. Well, I voted. I did my civic duty.
No, you're absolutely right, Tom. And there's so many things we can do. I think, you know, sometimes people are awkward about raising political issues with their friends or with people who disagree with them. I think we're beyond that. And I think we have to respectfully engage our friends, especially working people, and say, why are you voting against your own best interests?
Yeah, absolutely. Senator Bernie Sanders with us taking your calls. It's our Brunch with Bernie hour here on the Tom Hartman program on Air America Radio. TomHartman.com, Sanders.Senate.gov is Bernie's website, 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Get active.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Have you joined AARP?
Give me one good reason why I should.
You receive AARP the magazine, the AARP bulletin, access to the AARP website. You can save at thousands of hotels, motels, and resorts worldwide. Save on airfares, cruises, auto rentals, and vacation packages. AARP confronts age discrimination by employers. AARP works to strengthen Social Security and protect pension and retirement funds. Become eligible for AARP-endorsed homeowners, auto, and life insurance. Get access to reasonably priced long-term care insurance and group health insurance. Pharmacy services with convenient delivery to your mailbox. Access to a reduced-fee legal services network. Save on shoes, gifts, videos, and other products. You can join when you turn 50. Save on home security, online service subscriptions, emergency towing through the AARP motoring plan and other services. All for $12.50 a year.
That is one good reason to join.
Hurry.
1-800-950-7599. That's 1-800-950-7599. To join for only $12.50 a year. 1-800-950-7599. That's 1-800-950-7599.
It's Portland's most progressive talk with Tom, Heidi, and Carr.
John McCain's age. He'll be 72 on Election Day.
Mornings 6 to 9.
Team McCain, as they call him, is getting serious about this age issue, and it's going to convene a meeting of all of his doctors to answer questions next month about his health.
Tom Hartman, Heidi Tauber, and Carl Wolfson.
All of his doctors? I mean, how many does he have?
Gee.
Morning 6 to 9.
You're going to have to find an auditorium for that.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620. KPOJ.
I'm John Hope Bryant, founder of Operation Hope.
I'm Andrew Young, spokesman for Operation Hope. You know, the challenge of our time is to make free enterprise and democracy work for ordinary people, people that don't have a guaranteed inheritance and that don't have a guaranteed job anymore.
Because it's not about making more money. It's about making better decisions with the money you make. If you need a little hope, call 877-592-HOPE, 877-592-4673.
Once again, we're talking with Jim Fisher's daughters. Now, Molly, have you taken the SATs yet?
Not till next year.
So what kind of SAT score do you think a typical Volvo buyer would get?
Really high, 2,000 plus.
Okay, Emily, why do you think Volvo buyers are so smart?
Volvos are generally considered the safest cars you can buy. They get good fuel economy, and Volvo customers typically wait to buy until the factory offers a financing program that saves them a lot of money.
Which, according to JimFisherVolvo.com, is now 1.9% financing for 60 months on S80s and XC90s.
That should be an SAT question, because if you do the math, you'll see that you can save thousands of dollars in interest alone.
So how's the selection?
Well, Jim Fisher Volvo always has Oregon's largest inventory of Volvos, including plenty of S80s and a plethora of XC90s.
Plethora? Now that's an SAT word.
Jim Fisher Volvo is located in downtown Portland at 21st and West Burnside under the big blue Volvo sign. You'll love the way we treat you.
While working families and small businesses worry about their jobs, $4 a gallon gasoline, and skyrocketing health care costs, most large corporations in Oregon still pay just $10 a year in state income tax. It's wrong, and it's time for a change. Hello, I'm Rick Metzger. I'm running for Oregon Secretary of State because it's time to put fairness back into state government. As a state senator, I co-authored and passed the law that stopped large utility companies like Enron from collecting your tax dollars and putting them into their pockets. As co-chair of the Senate Commission on Educational Excellence, I led and helped pass the most significant school improvement fund in decades while holding our schools accountable for delivering results. As Secretary of State, I will hold all of state government accountable to you. I'm proud to recently be named a Working Families Champion by the Oregon AFL-CIO, and I will continue to stand up for you. I'm Rick Metzger, and I ask for your vote as Oregon's next Secretary of State. Together, we can make a difference.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Well, the glaciers are all melting and the Arctic's turning green. Polar bears have seen their lairs go floating downstream. Harp seals have changed color, they're no longer white. They're now bronze, complected, and extremely uptight. Will it be now or later when he gets a clue? Global warming is coming, baby.
My guest tonight claims to be the only socialist in the Senate. I'll get him to name names. Please welcome Senator Bernie Sanders. Thank you. Senator, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, you describe yourself as a democratic socialist, correct?
Yes.
That takes, if you pardon me for saying so, some huevos rancheros to call yourself... to call yourself a socialist in this day and age. That's like after the Chicago fire saying, I'm an arsonist. You know, socialist, we crushed you people in the Cold War, didn't we? Capitalism won, sir.
Not exactly.
Not exactly. Bernie, how is the Colbert Show? And you want to take a shot at that, and then we'll go back to our callers.
Well, it was a lot of fun. He is an extremely bright guy. God, his mind moves very, very fast.
Oh, yeah.
He is very funny. And I think he has figured out a way, actually, to communicate with a lot of young people. We got a lot of emails and phone calls from being on that show. He has figured out a way to communicate with a lot of people around this country, and I think he and Jon Stewart do a terrific job.
Yeah, and you did a terrific job on the show, as you do on ours.
Well, when he asked me about that, my response was, you don't have very much time to get into it on that show, but you know, as I mentioned to you, Tom, we had the ambassador from Finland come to Vermont about a month ago.
We had him on this show last week.
Oh, did you?
At your recommendation, yes.
Well, you know, and here you have a country which is obviously much, much smaller than the United States, very different. But, you know, they're human beings like we are. They have managed to create a society in which they have virtually free, high-quality health care, free college education, free preschool, and they have the best public school system in the world. The kids do best in international exam. Their workers have just tremendous amounts of time off. And they have a very strong economy. There are things that we can learn from Scandinavia, from some of the European countries, in terms of the role the government should be playing appropriately in improving the quality of life for the middle class. And those are the kinds of discussions that we need to have. And that's what democratic socialism is about. And it's important to look at the successes of some of these Scandinavian countries and what they have done in wiping out poverty and improving the standard of living of ordinary people.
Amen. Harvey in Berkeley, California, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, and I just want to thank the both of you for being true leaders, true American leaders. And it just says here that the total, about solar energy, the total solar radiation hitting the planet is about 1,000 times the world's commercial use on a daily, every day. And here in California, we're about to enter into a water crisis. It hasn't rained this little in March ever. And so California is going to start rationing its water. And it turns out that Southern California Edison, they leased 100 rooftops in California and in the L.A. area, and 100 large commercial rooftops, and they covered them with solar panels, approximately 2 square miles of solar panels, and they're generating enough power to power 160,000 homes. And that's just 100 rooftops. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of commercial rooftops up and down the California coast. And I say, especially with the coming of the plug-in cars, if we want to get past our water resource problems, because it turns out that the four horsemen of the apocalypse, nuclear, coal, oil, and natural gas, use 136 billion gallons of fresh water daily in the production of electricity. Only agriculture uses
water. We got your point, Harvey.
That's an excellent point. And the potential of solar, not just in terms of photovoltaic, as exciting as that is, and in terms of other technologies out there, what you are going to be seeing if we do what we should be doing is in your part of the world, in Southern California, in New Mexico, in Nevada, we have the potential, and it's going to start. They're starting to break ground within a year or two on what are called solar thermal plants. Each plant is the equivalent of a small nuclear power plant, which can produce electricity for 400,000 homes at competitive prices today and prices that will be very, very reasonable in 20 or 25 years. That's the kind of investment we should be making as a nation. And together, combined, those plants, if we could build hundreds of plants there, can provide a very significant part of the electricity that our country consumes.
Keith in Bahama, North Carolina, if I'm pronouncing that right, Keith, you're on the air.
Couple of things here. I'd like to focus on what's been talking about here. I'd like to talk to get the senator's view on, from his point of view, on the money situation, because I'm sitting here in North Carolina as an independent, and I'm kind of like a blue-collar type of person, and I need to know the connection of special interests and you know, big money and how this actually works with these superdelegates. If I can decide that, then it should be a no-brainer for me to decide who I'm going to vote for. I'm certainly not going to go for McCain. So it comes down to the two as far as executive power goes.
So you're
how do I determine where the money?
It's a good question, Keith. And what you're asking is whether Clinton or Obama will be more beholden to big money. Is that your question?
Keith has dropped, but yes.
Okay, there'll be people who will disagree on that analysis. Both of them are raising enormous sums of money. And, you know, all of this stuff is now public, and you can check out who's getting more money from powerful special interest. What I can tell you, I don't know the answer to that, but what I can tell you, Keith, is that is an enormously important issue, not only for the presidential candidates, but for what is going on in Congress right now. I was just looking at something. The oil and gas industry, since 1998, has spent over $600 million on lobbying and over $213 million since 1990 on campaign contributions.
Al, but they've made billions in return.
Absolutely.
It's a great investment.
So Keith asked the right question, and that is the power of big money over the political process. It is a huge, huge issue. Yeah. And unless we tackle that through public funding of elections, we're going to have a difficult time dealing with many of our serious problems.
Amen. Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov. Sign up for his newsletter. Bernie, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Tom. Thank
great
you.
Talking with you. It's Anything Goes Friday. We'll be taking your calls right after the news.
Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide. 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Anything Goes Friday. We'll be taking your calls at 866-303-2270 on any topic you want to talk about, from flying saucers over Arizona to the Democratic primary. A couple of things that I'd like to just put on the plate to begin with, or on the table, I guess, would be the... So, first, what's going on over on the right?
Now, behind enemy lines.
Yeah. I got this email from Pastor Rick Scarborough. Okay, this presumably went out to all of Pastor Scarborough's many minions all over the world, and certainly all over the country. The subject, Obama, black community first and foremost. He's talking about Michelle Obama's Princeton University thesis. And he says, in it, she writes that, quote, there is no doubt in my mind that as a member of the black community, I am obligated to this community and will utilize all of my present and future resources to benefit the black community first and foremost, end of quote. And then he goes on and says, therefore, because, what, two decades ago, as part of her thesis, her Princeton University thesis, and frankly, I'm not sure which thesis he's talking about, she made that comment that she wanted to benefit the black community. Gee, what a horrible thing for an African American to do. You know, it's that he goes on to say, Mrs. Obama clearly identifies herself in her thesis as a separationist and not an integrationist. She states that there are clearly separate black and white societies in America, and she elevates black over white. And it goes on to basically say, you know, because Michelle Obama is African American, look out. The beginnings of, as you know, what do you call it? The race wars? I mean, and then Limbaugh yesterday on his radio program talking about, well, he actually had a caller take him to task.
Atlanta, where it's going to hit 80 degrees today, finally. Here is Lisa. Nice to have you on the EIB network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. I'm calling because I wanted to get some clarification on a comment that you made yesterday at the end of the first hour.
Yes, ma'am.
You made the comment, I think one of your callers that called in, you were saying that you were hoping for riots if the Democrats choose Hillary over Obama. And you even kind of sang your statement to the tune of, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, or did you mean a white country? What exactly did you mean by those statements?
And then he goes off on calling her a racist, and he goes off on saying that she's twisting his words, and then he goes on singing, I'm dreaming of riots again. And you know, it is absolutely, frankly, a bizarre conversation. I mean, you know, this guy back on his meds again.
Yeah, being a nice guy. You said play it back. I don't need to play it back. I can sing it again. Yesterday, I didn't have the melody right. That's why I gave up on
it. It's like
today,
you,
I've got
you
the melody.
Revel in the division of this
what
country.
Is in
Republican,
your mind?
Democrat. We Americans, we need to do away with both parties and just really start from scratch and think about what's best for this country.
You know what we need to do away with?
And all that would do is put Rush out of business with his hate-filled discussions every day for three, 4 hours.
today.
No hate on this program. We need to put liberals out of business, Lisa.
There's no hate on this program. We need to put liberals out of business. Yeah, well, you know, Bill O'Reilly has a plan for that. Yeah. You know, it's
all those clowns over at the liberal radio network. We could incarcerate them immediately. Will you have that done, please? Send over the FBI and just put them in chains?
Mm-hmm. Where have we heard this kind of thing before? I don't know, maybe...
Dank Ihrer Führung.
Yeah.
Wird Deutschland
Let's
sein Ziel
divide
erreichen.
People.
Heimat zu sein.
By along lines of who they are, along lines of religion and race and ethnicity. I'm telling you, you say, okay, that's over the line, comparing Rush to a Nazi. No. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Yes, obviously, I don't think that Rush Limbaugh wants to kill millions of people and you know, no, I'm not going there. But the whole idea, I don't think that in the very beginning in Rwanda, that when the genocide in Rwanda was started by talk radio, and it was started by talk radio in Rwanda, that those people starting that, frankly, I doubt that they had it in their minds that a million people would die. I think, you know, they thought, hey, let's bring this issue to the top, let's get there. And frankly, I don't think that we're going to be seeing anything like a genocide or race riots in the United States, no matter how hard Rush Limbaugh tries to make it happen and bragging about having, you know, his agents inside the Democratic Party and his you know, he's going to bring chaos to the Democratic convention and his whole Operation Chaos thing. It's just a way to jack up ratings, I think. And at the same time, or perhaps I should say, but. We have to remember that there are large parts of America where the only radio voice you hear is that voice of Limbaugh and all of his syncopants, all of his imitators, all of the Rush wannabes, from the very successful Rush wannabes to the not so successful Rush wannabe. That's all you hear in much of America. So. Something to consider. So that, I just wanted to let you know what's going on the right. There's a problem, I think. Also in the Financial Times today, Philip Stevens, he's talking about Hillary Clinton's statement. She said, quote, we would be able to totally obliterate them, speaking of Iran. And he notes that Mrs. Clinton's latest television advertisement features, among others, Osama bin Laden. Now, this is a British commentator in a British publication, the Financial Times. And he says, we know, after all, how Mr. Obama would deal with America's enemies. While Mrs. Clinton was reaching for the president's nuclear football, Mr. Obama would actually be taking tea with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Iranian president. Has he not admitted as much? Mrs. Clinton mocks such naivete. Curiously, the lesson she draws from the past 8 years is that the only language these tyrants understand is American military might. And then he goes on to say, in one respect, she's right. If it turns out, and it may, that nothing can dissuade Tehran from joining the nuclear club, then the U.S. will need to devise a deterrence strategy. I would hazard a guess, though, that it would be something more sophisticated than a blanket threat to eviscerate 70-odd million Iranians. We have left behind that period of history when it was deemed reasonable to visit the sins of tyrannical rulers on entire nations. And I hope, I sincerely hope that Hillary Clinton will come out and try and clarify these comments and say that, no, she wasn't meaning that she would kill 70 million people because their leaders were trying to build a nuclear device or used a nuclear device against Israel, for that matter, or for that matter, yeah, Saudi Arabia or anybody else. So, anyhow, a lot going on. 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Jim in Berkeley, California, listening on Green 960. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hi, sorry, I'm just getting off speakerphone. Good to talk to you. I wanted to speak to Senator Sanders. My guess is that he's no longer wanting to field any calls about impeachment, but the question I wanted to ask...
He's taken a few over the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's just, okay. by and large, the furor of impeachment has faded in as much as it's pretty obvious it ain't going to happen, so...
So the question then is, without an impeachment proceeding, what is to prevent Bush from simply pardoning everybody, possibly including himself, on the way out the door, or if God forbid, President, we have a President McCain in 2009, to prevent him from pardoning the various criminals within the Bush administration.
Well, this, you know, I have raised this a couple of times, Jim, and you're absolutely spot on this, that Congress should pass a law making it, and I don't know if it would be constitutional or even legal, frankly, because the one kingly power, as Alexander Hamilton referred to it, in the Constitution is the power to pardon.
Right, it's, there in Article 2, Section 2?
That's right. It's the only remnant of the British aristocracy that's in our Constitution, and there was a furious debate over it in the Constitution Convention in 1787. But they decided to leave that in. And I predict, and I agree with you, that Bush, on the way out of the door, is going to issue blanket pardons, much like Reagan did for Caspar Weinberger and all of his buddies, even for people who haven't been indicted, even for people who haven't been charged, even for people who haven't even remotely been charged. He's going to issue pardons for Rove and for Harriet Myers and for John Yoo.
So isn't that a really good argument for initiating an impeachment proceeding?
It is an excellent and brilliant argument. The problem is that you would be initiating an impeachment proceeding for something that has not yet happened, which means that politically it would be a no-starter. It would
be
a non-starter.
No, it wouldn't be to impeach him for his, anticipated pardons. It would be an impeachment against all sorts of Bush administration officials for the various, high crimes and misdemeanors, which are, I've just been reading up on this morning. It really is a political remedy for all sorts of abuses of office, and that's pretty clear from what the framers knew about impeachment proceedings in England.
It absolutely is.
So that's what the impeachment would be for, but it would be there.
No, I agree, and I have been calling for 2 years for the impeachment of George W. Bush for high crimes and misdemeanors against the United States, period. And Marjorie Cohn's been on this program on a fairly regular basis. I recommend her website, MarjorieCohn.com. And her book, she wrote a book about the impeachment of George W. Bush. It should happen. It ain't going to happen, though.
Exposing the con in conservative. This is the Tom Hartman Program. A bleeding heart independent. Tom Hartman, nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here, and now I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. As you know, gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You should call ITM, too. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but trust me, the dollar's future is already baked into the cake. The USA has gone from a creditor nation in the 70s to the largest debtor nation the world has ever known. That's why some nations don't even want to take the American dollar today. So I hope you're listening when I tell you that you should call my friends at ITM Trading and get some gold today. Your long-term financial future may depend on it. Talk to the experts at ITM Trading. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to help you get started. It's really simple. Call and talk to their experts at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Helping you make sense of it all.
He is controlling his temper, but he really wants to smack the kid up.
Ed Schultz.
I want to know if Senator McCain has gone through anger counseling. When it comes to the McCain camp saying that he's working on his temper, you and I have every right to ask, what does that mean?
The Ed Schultz Show.
And don't come out there and tell the American people that you're working on it.
Noon to 3.
I think you need to clarify exactly what kind of work we're talking about.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Thank you for calling the Business Computer Support Desk. Press 1 for English. Press 2 for technical doublespeak. Thank you. Your call will be answered in the order it was received. There are 84 callers ahead of you. Please stay on the line. We appreciate your patience. Or press 1 if you think that's a bunch of... Please hold for an entirely different experience.
Hi, we're HP. We've teamed with Gecko Tech, your local HP authorized business partner, to help you get the most out of your technology. It's part of HP Total Care. For instance, if you're using HP business computers with Intel vPro processor technology, Gecko Tech can help manage them over the network, even if they're turned off, without interrupting your business. Visit geckotech.com/HP. Then they can visit you with HP computers powered by Intel vPro processor technology.
Third-party software may be required. Compatibility with Vista and certain virtual appliances not yet determined. Go to hp.com/go/pro or ask your rep for details.
Honey, have you seen the utility bill?
Uh-oh. What is it, honey?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's a lot lower than it was this time last year.
Oh. That's a big difference, is right.
It's time to see what going green can do with Eco Options products from the Home Depot. Through April 30th, get special deferred financing store-wide, including new Energy Star appliances, when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
With its exclusive MapShare technology, TomTom ensures you'll always have the world's most up-to-date maps. What else would you expect from the world's number one selling automotive GPS? TomTom. Go confidently.
At the first sign of Warren Brakes, head to the Les Schwab sign for a free brake check. If your brakes need service, we do it right, we do it complete. And back it with our full parts and labor guarantee. Les Schwab Brake Service. If we can't guarantee it, we won't sell it.
Hi, this is Bruce Hornsby. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to housing discrimination, that's not the way it has to be. Some things can change and should, and you can help. Join the effort to end housing discrimination by becoming a member of the National Fair Housing Alliance today. Visit our website at www.nationalfairhousing.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
So what's the remedy? If you can't stop the president from pardoning people on the way out so that he and his own crimes will be concealed, what's the remedy? And this is something that, frankly, I don't have an easy answer for this, and I haven't heard one from anybody. And we've talked with a number of constitutional scholars on this, and everybody seems to be a little stymied on it. And therefore, I think, frankly, Congress should be holding hearings right now on this topic. What are we going to do? Barack Obama has already said that if he becomes president, he will not stop the investigations and will look into the crimes of this administration. Previous presidents, Clinton stopped the investigations essentially, you know, as he came into office, into the Bush administration, the Reagan administration. Bush, obviously, Bush Sr., stopped the investigations into the Reagan administration's Iran-Contra, the theft of the 1980 election, all that kind of stuff. There needs to be some sort of way to say, even if the president pardons them, even if ultimately because of the pardon they can't be put in prison, at least let's lay out for the American people what the crimes were. So we have that. And now on the Reich, we have Limbaugh and other commentators openly calling for riots in Denver, openly calling for people in the streets to be beat up by the police. And in fact, here, here's the recap.
If you heard that call, if you didn't, if you're just joining us, we had a call from a woman named Lisa in Atlanta who was tarring me as a racist when she was the actual racist because of my desire to see the Democrat convention break down exactly as it did in 1968 in Chicago.
Ah, break down exactly like it did in 1968 in Chicago. And Rush, what would you like to see that you saw in 1968 in Chicago?
With Democrats beating up on Democrats in the streets. Mayor Daley's cops, his thugs, went out there and were attacking Democrats. And the SDS was there, and all the anti-war crowd, the Jerry Rubens and the Tom Haydens, they were starting fires and so forth. And the Democrats sent Mayor Daley's thugs out there to beat him upside the head.
And that would be a fine thing, eh? So let's have riots and, oh, man. 866-303-2270. Mike in Warrington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, but I'll get better.
First of all, I think that Rush is back on his happy pills.
It sure sounds like he's on something. I'm telling you, but okay. Nonetheless.
The one thing I don't understand, and I'm an Obama supporter, but I don't get Hillary's rating as being trustworthy, as being in the mid 40s, and where are all these votes coming from? I mean, are these Republicans just crossing over because they think that McCain can beat her rather than beat Barack Obama. I mean, there was
a fair amount of exit polling done by, I think it was by NBC. It was certainly reported on MSNBC the night of the election, where they asked people who had recently re-registered as Democrats, who had previously been registered as Republicans, for whom do you intend to vote? And do you intend to re-register as a Republican after the vote? And overwhelmingly, more than 60%, as I recall, said that they intended to vote for Barack Obama. So I think, yes, there's some small percentage of people who are doing what Limbaugh has been calling on Republicans to do, which is to register as Democrats and vote for Hillary Clinton, not necessarily because he thinks that Hillary Clinton would make a great president or he likes her or even that he wants her to win, but simply he wants to drag out the battle between her and Barack Obama because, the major beneficiary is John McCain. And the Republican Party. So, but I really think that his influence in this, his reach in this, while it may be substantial in those states like Michigan, where you can just, you essentially have open primaries and anybody can just walk up and say, I'll take a Republican ballot or I'll take a Democratic ballot and then fill it out. I think that that reach is significantly less significant in states like Pennsylvania. I think that there's a lot of Clinton support in Pennsylvania. We saw it in the election, to the extent that we can trust the voting machines. But I think, by and large, it's there. I mean, the polls were not that inconsistent with what the voting machines were saying. And it's there for a variety of reasons. One, Bill Clinton was is perceived to have had a very successful presidency. I mean, we had peace and prosperity for 8 years. We had a balanced budget when he was finished. There were a lot of good things about the Clinton presidency that people remember, and they think that Hillary will bring that back. Number one. Number two, David Sirota has laid out this hypothesis, and it's kind of a sad and tragic one if it's true, but it seems to be that in those states with fewer than 7% African Americans, race really isn't an issue. And so a state like Wisconsin or Oregon or Vermont will go for Barack Obama because they just don't even consider race. And in a state with more than 17% African Americans, the African American percentage who will vote based on race is equal to or larger than the white percentage who will vote based on race. And so the racists kind of cancel each other out. But in those states with more than 7% and fewer than 17%, you've got basically a majority of white racists in states that have been polarized by racial politics. They show up at the polls and they're simply voting for the white person. And so I think that there's some truth to that. And there's an element of that. So I think that there's a variety of reasons why people are supporting Hillary Clinton. And certainly the major one is not that they're racists or, for that matter, that they're sexists. But all of these things, there's a whole variety of, most of the people, I think, who are supporting her think that she'll make a great president. Just like I think most of the people who are supporting Barack Obama are doing it not because of his skin color, but because they think he'll make a great president. That has to be the bottom line.
You're tuned in to the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
You never take it right. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. The closer you go, you leave the world behind. You're begging for gold.
34 minutes past the hour. Now, some downright strange stuff. In fact, some downright crazy stuff out there. Do not do this in your hometown. Here in Portland, the parents at Lincoln High School got what looked like an official letter. From the high school. Looks official. Looks serious. As Kimberly Melton in Today's Oregonian writes, it started off mildly announcing Saturday's upcoming prom, discussing ways parents could help their students have a safe and fun evening. Yeah, but then the school was abandoning its abstinence-only education and would encourage safe sex instead and enclosed a condom. The fake letter also suggested the parents open up their homes as safe places for students to party after the dance. And by the way, if you're going to do that, don't get that cheap stuff. The letter specifically recommended Hennessy Cognac.
us the booze to buy. I think at that point some parents went, huh? Yeah, here's another crazy. This is Justice Antonin Scalia.
My court owed no apology whatever for Bush versus Gore. We did the right thing, so there.
People say that that decision was not based on judicial philosophy, but on politics.
I say nonsense.
Was it political?
Gee, I really don't want to get in. I mean, this is, get over it. It's so old by now.
Yeah, it was just a coup by the Supreme Court. It was just a takeover of the White House. You know, we're all upset about the fact that, and the world is, actually, it's getting very little play in the United States, but it leads the BBC almost every night, that in Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia, in Zimbabwe, I've got a Rhodesian passport. In Zimbabwe, the president, Robert Mugabe, who has become essentially the dictator, the mass murderer, the crazy guy, Robert Mugabe, ran for election and was beaten. The exit polls showed he was beaten. The international media said he was beaten. The international observers said he was beaten. Even some of the local newspapers admitted that he was beaten, although some of those people then lost their jobs or they got beaten. And Mugabe will not allow the results of the election to be released. And the world is looking at this going, this is horrible. This is not a democracy. Do you realize that it has now been 7 years since the vote in Florida, since the Florida Supreme Court ruled that the vote in Florida should be counted and released, and it still has not been released by the government? It was recounted by news organizations, and they found that Al Gore won, but it has not been counted and released, recounted and released by the state of Florida. 7 years later. And we're criticizing Zimbabwe? Amazing. Karen in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening to WPTT. Hey, Karen, you have a theory about Hillary support in Pennsylvania?
Yes. I'm Pennsylvania, born and raised here, and I think people need to understand the really strong Democratic machine that controls Pennsylvania politics. And when we heard that Rendell was in Hillary's camp, we said right away, he's going to deliver the state, because as he goes, that's how a lot of politicians go. That's why Allegheny County, our mayor in Pittsburgh, the county council members, he's in charge of the Allegheny County, Philadelphia mayor, they followed his line. And if he had not endorsed her, if he had endorsed Barack, he would have definitely taken the state hands down by a large majority.
Yeah, and I think you may well be right. Also, there was the Barack Obama campaign's decision not to pass out walking around money.
Right, and that's a big thing, not just in Philadelphia, but in other areas as well. And the thing people have to understand is we were bombarded with week after week of Ed Rendell on every local, you name it, TV station, and he can spin, believe me.
Yeah, and
he
well, and
Ed, you the swampland in Florida.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, Ed Rendell's a very, very smart politician. He's a
right.
He's
and
a
the way
very,
he went, the other people said we can't cross the big boy in Harrisburg.
But here's the other thing that I think that we all have to acknowledge, and people who support Obama, people who support Clinton, people who are undecided, whatever it may be, I don't think that there's many undecideds any longer, but whatever, at least among Democrats, is that Hillary Clinton actually is a strong candidate and may make a good president. Barack Obama is a strong candidate and may make a good president. And for us to parse this at the level of, oh, you know, they voted for him because he was black. Oh, they voted for her because she was a woman. Oh, they voted for her because Ed Rendell said they voted for him because so-and-so, because Bruce Springsteen said whatever, I think diminishes the fundamental reality that these are two brilliant politicians.
I agree. And I also want to make the point, too, that Barack got over a million votes in Pennsylvania,
which is not insignificant, but Hillary got 1.2 million, but still a million votes is not insignificant. And this is what really blows my mind, Karen, is that people then say, oh, well, see, he only got a million votes in Pennsylvania. She got 1.2 million. That means he can't win Pennsylvania in the general election. I'm sorry. What I saw, it was that in Pennsylvania, 2.2 million people showed up to vote for a Democrat. It didn't matter which Democrat. 2.2 million people showed up to vote for a Democrat in Pennsylvania. And that's going to be one hell of a problem for the Republicans come the fall, regardless
plus
of who the Democrat is.
Plus, there's over 4 million Democrats registered. Yeah. We definitely have a majority of Democratic registration here.
Right.
So
right.
I think any Democratic nominee will carry Pennsylvania. But I really think that had Rendell come out for Barack months ago, we would have had a totally different situation as far as the outcome here in Pennsylvania.
Interesting. Karen, thank you very much. Janice in Pittsburgh, also on listening on WPTT, would like to weigh in. You were a volunteer for Hillary.
I met Hillary. I volunteered. And I'll tell you something. I would like to be given credit for making up my own mind, unlike that woman that just called. And it does not have anything to do with Rendell. As a matter of fact, Jack Wagner came out for Obama, and I went and voted for Hillary Clinton as Auditor General because I'm so mad at him. I will not vote for Casey. I won't vote for any man. I won't volunteer for any man. I am so sick of this. When will people understand that we are looking at Hillary as a competent person that can lead this country, and we are making up our own mind by what we read, what we experience, and what we feel about her.
Yeah, this is my point. I think that I have met Hillary Clinton as well. She is charming. She's smart. She's mind-bogglingly smart. And in fact, I think one of the moments when I was most impressed by her was when those letters that she, I don't know if you read this in the New York Times, this was about a year ago, or maybe 6-8 months ago, these letters from when she was in college that she wrote to a friend of hers who was not a boyfriend, but a male friend. And they had gone off to different colleges, and they kept in touch and wrote letters back and forth. And she certainly didn't want these things released. He released them. I don't think she even knew that they still existed. And it was this incredible insight into the way that her mind worked. And I read these things and thought, this is a compassionate, brilliant person who is introspective and thoughtful. And, you know, people in the New York Times, you know, they were almost kind of sneering. Oh, you know, she's self-absorbed or something. I didn't take that away from it at all. I thought what it said was that she was the kind of person who actually, you know, considers things, ponders things.
Well, also, the week before the election, 2,700 volunteers came. I spoke to people from all around the country that are volunteering for her, and I'm sure that Barack has the same thing. But I have never experienced this level of commitment in a primary for a person. In addition, a lot of my female friends who are Republicans became Democrats only to vote for Hillary.
Right.
And it isn't a race issue. It was because they believe in this competent woman,
Okay, so it sounds, Janice, like what you're saying is that it's a gender issue. You said you wouldn't vote for any of these men.
No.
Isn't that just as problematic as it being a race issue?
Let me explain this to you, okay? I don't feel it has – I'm married to a black man, okay? I'm not a racist. I don't feel that Barack Obama has the experience. That's plain and simple. I just don't feel that he has the experience.
Said you wouldn't vote for a whole bunch of other men that you know.
That's right. I'm mad at them because they should have stayed neutral. You know, see, Mr. Casey, the only reason he came out for Barack Obama is because he's mad at Clinton because Clinton didn't allow his father to speak in prime time after his father wouldn't even endorse Clinton. And you know,
do you think Rendell should have remained neutral?
Ed Rendell?
Yeah.
No, you know why? Because there are governors of other states that came out for Barack, like Janet Napolitano in Arizona, which ultimately went for Hillary.
Right.
There is a whole slew of delegates who, for instance, Kennedy and Kerry,
who are defying their own state. Let me then just ask you the question that, you know, people who come on who are clearly Obama partisans or Clinton partisans that I think is really the important question, and that is, can you, as a Clinton partisan, and you've been a very articulate spokeswoman, for her cause, can you give me we have just like 30 seconds here before the music's going to start and the break hits. Can you give me a quick summary of why I should vote for Barack Obama if he's the candidate?
See, I can't vote for him, so that's why I've been called a racist.
Let's assume that it's him or John McCain. You will not vote for him?
I'll write Hillary's name in, and I'll tell you why. Because he has been shoved down our throat. I didn't want to vote for Jason Altmaier. I didn't want to vote for Bob Casey. I didn't want to vote for Kerry. I have given so many excuses to so many men over these years. And yet, Hillary does one little thing. Maybe she misspeaks about Bosnia, and, you know, she's a liar. She's held to such a different standard, and I'm going to start. You know, I just can't do it for these men anymore. I've given them a pass. I can't do it anymore.
Okay. Janice, thank you very much for the call.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And see, this hardening polarization is very, very concerning. 45 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program, where smart people get their news.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
If you thought George Bush was bad when it comes to the use of military force, wait till you see John McCain. So says a big-time Washington insider in The Nation magazine. Want a chilling insight into the soul of the hot-headed warrior who openly warns America?
I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be other wars.
I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be other wars? You better get The Nation. It's easy. You can sample four issues absolutely free. Call 800-999-6863. That's 800-999-6863. Or go to readthenation.com. After 4 weeks, you'll know why The Nation is America's widest read weekly journal of opinion. Editor Katrina Vandenhuvel, John Nichols, Robert Dreyfus, and more take you where the mainstream press will not go. 4 weeks of The Nation free. Then get 20 more weeks, that's 6 months in all, for just $13.95. Or write no thanks on the invoice. Call 800-999-6863. That's 800-999-6863. Or go to readthenation.com.
Randy Rhodes.
What do you want, Lars Larson?
What's your fascination with my gun? You keep bringing it up, and I...
Because
I don't
it's
know
on the wrong side.
Is.
Women
What's
want
it all about?
Women want the gun in the front, darling, not in the back.
Pointed and provocative.
I got both.
Why are you calling me? Because I'm kicking your ass in your own hometown?
No.
There's no one else like her.
Why would you say that?
Oh, go to hell.
Afternoons with Randy Rhodes, 3 to 6.
Listen, it's Portland, buddy. You're done. Kiss it goodbye. I'm here. You're gone. Bye-bye. It's just the way it's going to be, Lars.
On AM 620. KPOJ.
Acro Pure and Divine Green.
Why do you keep saying Acro Pure and Divine Green?
Acro Pure and Divine. Because we can save $5 on every gallon of Miller's Acro Pure Divine Green paint. Acro Pure and Divine Green.
That's pretty irritating.
Acro Pure and Divine Green. I know. But Miller's Acro Pure and Divine Green paints won't smell up the house, so it's safe for the kids. My wife wants to get it done this weekend. Acro Pure and Divine Green. Acro Pure and Divine Green. Acro Pure and Divine Green.
Why do you have to keep repeating it like that?
Because I forgot to write it down.
Miller Paint. Our paint since 1890. Right now, get a $5 mail-in rebate on every gallon of Miller Acro Pure or Divine Green paints. With no solvents and virtually no odor, they're safe for the environment and your budget, too. Rebate applies to retail sales price. Minimum purchase, 1 gallon. Maximum rebate, $20 per customer.
This Friday evening at 7 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott on Southeast Sunnybrook in Clackamas, join Dr. Ignacio Castuera as he speaks on the subject, A Renewed Conversation with Latin America for a New Time. Dr. Castuera is a scholar and writer for the Center for Process Studies in Claremont, California, civil rights leader, national chaplain for Planned Parenthood, and progressive clergy person. Suggested donation is $10. Event sponsored by MicahsVillage.org, a spiritual home for Portland's progressives.
If I go shopping, it's only for guy stuff.
If I go shopping, it's only for guy stuff.
Like auto parts.
Yeah.
And accessories. One sec. Yellow. Yeah. Hi, huh? A gallon? 2%? Okay, yeah. Meeting adjourned.
When it comes to brand name auto parts and expert advice, Shucks rules. So make the right call.
Yellow.
Shucks Auto Supply.
Pick up our in-store flyer for great savings throughout the store, now through Sunday.
Broadway Toyota sold more hybrids than anyone in Oregon last year because we simply have more to choose from and we sell them for less. If you think you need to be a vegetarian or own a yoga mat to drive a Toyota hybrid, think again. We all hate buying gas. So if your family's been living on ramen noodles so you can fill up your tank each week, Broadway is the only way. Just get off at the I-5 Rose Quarter exit and head 2 blocks east or shop BroadwayToyota.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
See, I'm seeing increasingly this hardening on both sides. This is the thing that concerns me. People who are Obama supporters saying, no, I'll never vote for Hillary. And people who are Hillary Clinton supporters saying, no, I'll never vote for Barack Obama. And it is exactly what Rush Limbaugh wants. It is exactly what John McCain wants. It is exactly what Karl Rove wants, for us to split the party. I mean, Limbaugh even wants to take it beyond that. He wants us to have riots in the streets in Denver. He wants cars overturned. He wants people shot. I mean, he wants it to be like 68. He wants people beat up. This is the kind. I mean, last night on Larry King Live, Bill Richardson and James Carville. I was passing through the Denver airport. I saw it on the TV. Here's the clip.
Campaign. They're changing the rules. They want to bring
Richardson.
In Florida and Michigan all of a sudden and count them. They're basically saying that Senator Obama is can't win in November when he is obviously the strongest general election candidate, winning battleground states, and his message with independents. And now all of a sudden the presidency is slipping away, and they'll do anything to keep it.
You know, maybe the governor was on vacation and not taking phone calls when myself and Governor Rendell and Governor Corzine offered to pay for a revote in Florida and Michigan. And by the way, I would point out, of people actually voting, Senator Clinton leads the popular vote. People did go vote in Florida. They did go vote in Michigan. If you only count the delegates after you voted. But we
that
said...
That is totally false.
Governor, how can you say...
When they didn't participate, James,
Governor, how can you say that?
Honestly, that is lunacy.
I have not interrupted you.
That is lunacy.
Sir, I have not interrupted you.
All right, one of them. Go ahead.
Right. So maybe he was on vacation not taking phone calls. We offered to pay for it, to have a vote in Florida and Michigan. We got 9% of the Democrats in this country live in Florida and Michigan. They did go vote. Now, you may not want to cost a delegate, but please don't offer to me that Senator Obama is winning the popular vote, because he's not.
So here we have two Democrats beating each other up, and I would say at the threshold of hitting each other below the belt, to use a phrase I've used and described and explained before in this program. This is very concerning. Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon, has written a letter to the campaigns saying, please prove to me that I should support you by showing how effectively you can defeat John McCain, not how effectively you can defeat another Democrat. These are my words, not his, but that's the essence of it. And I absolutely agree with that. That's what we need to be doing. Kevin in Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I'm calling because of, the comments about Hillary wanting to basically nuke the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Olbermann.
Well, it wasn't the Middle East. It was Iran.
Right.
And she didn't say nuke. She said obliterate. But.
Well, Keith Olbermann
close.
Interviewed her about this on Monday night.
Yeah.
And asked her what she meant. And she said that if Iran develops nuclear weapons, that she thinks that we ought to offer to protect the other nations in the area to prevent a nuclear arms race.
Mm-hmm.
And that may or may not be correct, but we probably ought to be thinking about how to stop a nuclear arms race.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we need to have a good, rational discussion about it in this country. And which of these countries do we want to protect? I mean, obviously, Israel's a longtime ally and a democracy in the Middle East, number one. Egypt has been a longtime ally of ours. Jordan has been a longtime ally, although to the extent to which you could call them democracies is, you know, kind of dicey.
Sure.
Saudi Arabia doesn't even pretend to be a democracy. Syria, you know, what's our relationship with them going to be? We do need to have a conversation about these kind of things. I absolutely agree with you, and I think that. Hopefully I'm not demagoguing her statement about obliterating, but I'm telling you, the international press, pick up a copy of today's Financial Times and look on the editorial page. A third of the entire page is devoted to it. And there's this graphic of a nuclear missile flying through the sky with Hillary Clinton sitting on it and pointed at Ahmadinejad as if it was something right out of, what was the Dr. Strangelove? I mean, you know, it is concerning the rest of the world, these statements. And so let's have the discussion. Let's have a conversation. These are the kind of things where this is, you know, if you're going to have a debate, I don't want to know about why Hillary and Obama and Barack will not wear flag pins. I want to know, you know, what are they going to do about the real issues of the world? Let's get into these real issues of the world. Ken in East Brunswick, New Jersey. Hey, Ken.
Hi. I'm a longtime listener. In fact, through the Miracle Podcast, I listened to almost every word of your national broadcast until Al Franken left the air to make his run for Senate. I have a lot of respect for you and what you're doing.
Thank you, Ken.
And I'm calling to make a point that I think that progressive in general making a great mistake to continue to marginalize and trivialize the 9/11 truth movement, particularly in this time of in this election time. Mm-hmm. In my view, the myth of 9/11 is what sustains neocons in power, and they are using it. And they'll continue to use it like a club to beat Congress and the rest of us into submission.
Right. And there's a spectrum here, Ken, and I think that the Democratic Party and the Democrats should be loudly at the beginning end of the spectrum, which is, you know, what about those 56 warnings that Bush got that this thing was coming? What about the fact that, you know, one of the guys who was, or two of the guys who were alleged to be in the planes were living with an FBI agent? What about, you know, Colleen Rowley? What about, you know, there's all these questions about, you know, why did they stand this stuff down? What about the stuff that kind of looks like they just, they were thinking, hey, it wouldn't be such a bad thing if this happened. On the other end of that spectrum is the, you know, somebody wired the building to come down. I think that area is so controversial, no Democrat is going to touch it. And what has happened is that the Republicans who are defending Bush's utter failure to respond to the warnings he had and Cheney's bizarre behavior and Rumsfeld's bizarre behavior during 9/11, and Bush's for that matter, the Republicans have conflated the two. And they've said, well, if you're going to talk about 9/11, even ask reasonable and rational questions like, what, you know, what was the deal with the Bush administration? Why was George Sr. having breakfast with Bin Laden's brother at the time? Then you're some kind of crazy. That's wrong.
The Tom Hartman Program. The true people's radio. Tom Hartman.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide. 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Anything Goes Friday here on the 25th of April. Welcome back. Shabbat Shalom, Jumma Mubarak, TGIF, Happy Friday. Terry McAuliffe goes on Fox News and makes the mistake of saying something nice about Fox News, because guess what they do with it? Here's the original discussion he's having.
And they like what she's saying, and they are ready to take this thing on. And let me congratulate Fox, because you were the first ones to call it for Hillary Clinton. Fair and balanced, Fox. You beat them all.
Terry, you talked about trust a second ago. Still, the exit polls here in Pennsylvania show something that's been a recurrent problem for Hillary Clinton. Even Democrats are not sure she's trustworthy. They're not sold on her honesty quotient. What are you going to do to try to change that? Can you change that? Is it important for you to change it?
In other words, there was a discussion going on, right? This wasn't Terry McAuliffe coming on and reading a live promo for Fox News. But here's what Fox News did with it. They repackaged that little clip of Terry McAuliffe, and this is the ad that's now running on Fox.
Only Fox delivered.
Let me congratulate Fox, because you were the first ones to call it for Hillary Clinton.
No holding out for ratings. No pushing an agenda. That's why we are number one.
Fair and balanced, Fox. You beat them all.
Fox News Channel is America's election headquarters.
Yeah. Terry, be careful. You're very close to getting foot and mouth disease. Jeff in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I'm sorry to keep belaboring the point here, but the problem I have with Clinton in this election is that she has proven to be extremely divisive, and it's not so much a problem with her. I don't think she'd be a bad president. The problem is what it does to her supporters, and even worse, what it seems to be doing to the Karl Rove bots. I'm afraid that the election in certain tight areas might have been manipulated by right-wing forces with the same old tactics, you know, disenfranchisement, broken machines, even vote flipping software, not to help her win, but to cause a complete disaster in the Democratic Party. And I haven't heard enough reporting on this. I'd like to hear more from Greg Palast.
Brad Friedman is really at the front of this, and I recommend people go over to bradblog.com and check it out. He's got a lot of information there.
Next week.
That's probably a good idea. Mark Crispin Miller actually was on last week or earlier this week. You know, when I'm flying around, my sense of time gets totally whacked. But I think we had Mark Crispin Miller on Tuesday, wasn't it, of this week?
And
he's been doing a fair amount of writing on this stuff over at I think it's markcrispinmiller.blogspot.com. But certainly, if you Google his name, you'll find it, and his website. And there are some legitimate concerns about what went on. In fact, we had a woman on the show yesterday or the day before who was out canvassing for Obama and was pointing out that in many of the largely African American districts, those areas that they knew would be solidly Obama areas, and oddly enough, that were heavily Clinton areas 6 months ago or a year ago. But nonetheless, in those areas that the voting machines in many cases were not working, there were a lot of red flags being raised.
Not which candidate wins or not, but that Native Americans in New Mexico, African Americans in our big cities,
right. You
know, people who've historically been disenfranchised, they're actually supporting a candidate who has the will of the people. When they get screwed, we all get screwed.
Right.
And Americans are worse off for it.
Yeah, well said, Jeff. And they're being disenfranchised again, and that's the concern. And frankly, I don't think that this was something that was done to benefit Hillary Clinton. I think what we're seeing is a system which is in place and which has been put in place, you know, I mean, you could take this all the way back to the 19th century if you want. But in modern days, certainly caging and the whole Karl Rove thing, and it wasn't Sarah Taylor, it was the other woman who was testifying before Congress about how Karl Rove's assistant was responsible for caging out of the White House, and it's like, what? And what we're seeing is that kind of thing, you know, voter disenfranchisement, the system. We just got a sample of it, of what's going to happen in the national election in the primary in Pennsylvania, and I think that's a problem. Matt in Seattle. Hey, Matt, you're a Hillary supporter.
Tom?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, you know, I was just I was listening earlier to you and Bernie, and I think the point is I'm a Hillary supporter, but if it comes down to it, I'm voting for the Democrat, but I'm not going to stop. Unfortunately, you know, we have a Congress that is not doing much, and we have to change that too. So it's not over after the election, even if Obama or Hillary wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal.
Yeah, it's a different time. Yeah, absolutely, and well said, Matt. And, in fact, that was the point that Bernie made and that I was making. It's not enough just to vote. By the way, this just in, as they say, a bill proposed by Rush Holt, Congressman Rush Holt, the Democrat from New Jersey, who when he first brought this topic up like 5.5, 6 years ago, we had him on this program. In fact, the audio of it of several of our interviews with Rush Holt over the years is over at our website at tomhartman.com, the archives. A bill proposed by Congressman Rush Holt to help states implement a paper trail for voting machines so that voters could verify their vote and a recount could be performed was stonewalled in the House yesterday by conservatives. Politico writes that the bill came up for a vote in the House Administration Committee. The Republicans on the committee gave it their unanimous support, but 2 weeks later, those same Republican members voted against moving the bill to the House floor. Why? In heaven's name, why? Why did these Republicans suddenly change their mind? Why did these Republicans all of a sudden decide that they don't want paper trails on voting machines? What the hell is going on here? Now is a good time to call your member of Congress. You can go to callcongress.org. There's all the 800 numbers and say, why is, you know, Rush Holt's bill is frankly very lukewarm. He's still saying let's have machines. I'm saying let's join the rest of the civilized world and vote on paper. There is, to the best of my knowledge, there's no other country that's using voting machines. And this is nuts that we're or at least privatized voting machines, that we have private corporations. Canada tried it. Quebec tried it for one cycle, and they said, hey, forget it. We're going back to paper. In Germany and France and England, every place else in the world, people vote on paper. What's wrong with voting on paper? 866-303-2270. Ernest in Los Angeles. Hey, Ernest.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Okay. The point of us on the screen was that what we are teaching our kids as a black person, what we are teaching our kids that racism, you know, is not here as bad as it was before. But what is happening with this? You have set us back 200 years as far as walking up and telling a black kid that, hey, racism is not here. There's so as far as a quote-unquote white person wants to get on TV or a black person wants to say that, you cannot tell these kids that because they're going to look at you like you're a fool, that what have we as black people ever did to quote-unquote America? We never went to war against you. We never killed anybody. We never did anything. So what is it? What is it? I mean, Germans, we went to Germany. Germans killed us. Japanese killed us as Americans. What have black people did to deserve what we go through? And everybody keeps saying, well, it's not there, it's not there. It's like we did something to white, quote-unquote white America. I don't like to even use that word because I consider myself as American. But what have we done that we cannot get from under this yoke that you have put on us 400 years ago and half of the black people are still angry at it? What have we done to you?
Damn good question, Ernest.
I'm serious.
The Mormon doctrine was that the mark of Cain, up until just a decade or so ago, was that the biblical mark of Cain was blackness, and therefore there's... And at the time of the revolution, there was a debate about, evolution and all this kind of stuff. But it's all of that is, I think, just been so disproven and is so asynine that, the question, why does racism survive? I think,
what I'm trying to say is not racism against a German, against a whatever, a black. I mean, the other racism as far as, if a Japanese doesn't like a Chinese and so on, that's two different things. But as far as blacks in the United States across the board, I mean,
think it is, Ernest? I mean, you've been a front row observer of this. What do you think it is?
I have never yet to figure it out. Other than the point that here's mine. Other than the point that we have whooped these people for the last 300 years. If they ever get back in, if they ever get to power, then they are going to turn around on us. And which we are not.
So you think that there's a white fear that there will be a black backlash slavery?
I mean, okay, what other reason? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to talk over you. But what other reason have, there's nothing in our history. There's nothing in the black person history that says they are against America or against any race or anything like that.
I'm right there with you, Ernest. I absolutely agree. I'm sorry, we've got to take a break. But your point, you've made your point. You made it very eloquently. And boy, it would be really interesting to ask some white racist, what's your beef? What's your gripe? 16 minutes past the hour.
Tom Hartman, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Standing up for freedom, Tom Hartman, nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later, I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests. No needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-643-TEST. That's 1-888-643-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-643-TEST. That's 1-888-643-TEST.
Rachel Maddow.
The point that she's making there is an important one.
Evenings, 6 to 8.
We are completely unwilling to do what needs to be done to reduce our dependence on Middle Eastern oil.
Rachel Maddow.
It is a matter of huge national embarrassment and huge national vulnerability and weakness that we have to do everything we do as a country, hat in hand, bowing and scraping.
Evenings, 6 to 8.
Because we are dangling off the swollen udder of the Middle Eastern oil.
Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
Thinking about a new Honda Accord? A great front-wheel drive car on sale for around $20,000 plus? But if you considered an all-wheel drive 2008 Subaru Outback for around $2,000 less, you owe it to yourself to test drive the new symmetrical all-wheel drive Subaru at Car Subaru and find out why the average buyer keeps their Subaru for over 7 years, as per J.D. Powers and Associates. This week, Car Subaru, one of Oregon's few environmentally friendly green dealers, has the 2008 Outback on sale for just $17,995. That's right, just $17,995. And we have the largest Subaru inventory in the Northwest, with over 400 new Subarus in stock. Car Subaru, the green dealer, just off Highway 217 on Canyon Road in Beaverton, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Think Feel Drive Subaru. 2008 Outback 8DA, stock number S80544. Sale price after $1,500 rebate.
Hello, this is Rick Metzger. For almost 16 years as a TV journalist and now as a state senator, I've had the privilege to represent both rural and urban Oregonians. I found that we share the same goals, hopes, and aspirations. I'm running to be your next Secretary of State because I believe Oregonians demand leadership that will move our state in a bold, new direction. Oregonians are tired of partisan politics and slick campaign ads. They want their voices heard. They want results. As Chairman of the Senate Business and Economic Development Committee, I know that Oregon is positioned to reap the rewards of a sustainable economy. That's why I've helped lead the way on renewable energy investment to reduce our addiction to foreign oil while providing new opportunities for our natural resource industries, partnerships that bring urban and rural Oregonians together and gives Oregon a sustainable future. I'm proud of the many endorsements I've received in this campaign, but the only endorsement that really matters is yours. This is Rick Metzger, and I would be honored to have your vote.
With its exclusive MapShare technology, TomTom ensures you'll always have the world's most up-to-date maps. What else would you expect from the world's number one selling automotive GPS? TomTom. Go confidently.
It's spring sale time at Les Schwab. Many of our most popular wheels and shocks are on sale, all with the free services you expect and the guarantee you never pay extra for. Spring sale on now only at the Les Schwab sign.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
A cargo ship hired by the U.S. military fired warning shots at approaching boats in the Gulf, the U.S. Navy said on Friday, underscoring tension in the region as the Pentagon sharpened its warning to Iran. Ships hired by U.S. military, this is the headline, fires warning shots in Gulf. Is it the beginning? Let's hope not. Sherry in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Sherry, what's up?
Hi. I've got to say two things. I'm sorry you're not here live in Denver, and I miss you.
Thank you.
And the only time I get to hear you live is on Friday when I don't work.
Ah, when you can get on the web. We are on the air in Denver, by the way.
I know, but that's not live, and I'm not in the car then. I'm in the car for 12 hours a day.
But we're pleased to be on the air in any case, even if it's not live. But Sherry, that's not what you called about.
No, that isn't at all. No, but that was the first thing I just wanted to say to you. The second thing I wanted to say to you, I was coming in, and I listened to PBS for like a blurb. And the blurb was about, you know, what the economy is and what's going on. And they went to the military, and they spoke to a gentleman who was about to lose his home. And he had talked to the mortgage company repeatedly. Right. And basically they told him to go to hell, and he called PBS And, of course, right after that, the mortgage company said, oh, we'll work with you.
Right.
He said he was so disheartened because of all the trouble and all the pain he had gone through the last couple of months. All right. All the bills I've heard about that the government wants to pass is to help the investor, is to help the counseling companies.
Yep.
What about the person who's losing his home, who doesn't have a job, who doesn't care about a counselor because he's way above that?
Yeah.
Who needs money?
This is what Bernie has proposed. This is what a number of progressive members of Congress have proposed, is that we basically bring back the original incarnation of what became the FHA, which was, and I don't have the paper in front of me now, I don't remember the original name of it from the 30s, but this was something that Franklin Roosevelt put into place in 1934 to help people not lose their homes. And basically it was that the government would buy the mortgage from the mortgage company, get them out of the picture, and then renegotiate the mortgage with the person who holds the home so that in the 30s, most mortgages were five-year balloon payments. Or in the 20s, most mortgages were five-year balloon payments. There were virtually no 20- and 30-year payments mortgages, and they were also mostly interest-only loans. And what was happening is in the 20s, housing prices were going up so much during the roaring 20s that people were buying all these houses on the assumption that, you know, 2 years down the road they could flip them, which is exactly what was going on 3 years ago. And so what Roosevelt did when he came in is he said, we're going to buy up these mortgages and we're going to then renegotiate 20 and 30 year fixed mortgages with the homeowners directly, either through a bank and guaranteed by the government or directly with the government, so that are equity loans. In other words, at the end of 20 or 30 years, you've paid for your house free and clear and you own it. That's how my dad bought his first house in 1955. And it was paid off when he died. And that's what we need to do. We need to go back and say we're going to reinvent that original incarnation of what came to be the FHA. And there have been a number of proposals to do this, but the Bush administration and the Republicans are not for it, and there are not enough Democrats that are for it. But
can I mention one other thing?
Yeah.
He said something, and it like a light bulb went on. I have a large account, and I'm in the car a lot, and I talk to a lot of managers in a lot of stores. I walk around and I think the fear that I've been under for the last couple of years, I thought we were the only ones, actually. I mean, I knew I wasn't because, you know, you're not the only one in anything, really,
sure,
unless you're a mass murderer, that I start hearing it now.
People expressing, your peers and friends expressing to you their economic fear.
You know, the money that you're going to, this windfall that Bush has said, you know, that's going to make the economy turn around, that there won't be a recession that's been going on for a couple of years already. That she had said to me that her son is going to the dentist. The bill is $750. She will get $600. Because he couldn't get it because he's 18, and in this administration, you should be on your own and supporting yourself, so he doesn't get any money. So she's already $150 in the hole.
Right. And this gets to the larger question. I mean, of what's the filter through which we view society? The filter through which Americans have been viewing society since the Reagan years, and this has been a debate that's been going on since this country was founded, is the filter of private property. We consider private property to be freedom, and society and family and community and safety and security, those are all the things that are derived from private property and freedom. If you talk to folks in Denmark, they will tell you that the filter through which they view life and they view the purpose of government is family, security, safety, and community. And that when those things are solid, then private property is a subordinate thing, but then people can have private property. And it's like, which are you going to hold higher? In our society, it's all about, you know, I'm going to get mine, you're going to get yours kind of thing. And in most of the other industrialized societies in the world, it is, we are all in this together.
And
that's where Michael Moore said it so brilliantly in his movie Sicko. There was that one incredibly poignant moment where he said, ultimately, we have to, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, ultimately, we have to decide, are we a we society or a me society?
That's right.
Yep. Sherry, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. By the way, next Wednesday at noon, in answer to Ernest's question, we're going to have the guy from the KKK on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Demand is up, supplies are down. What I want is like crude and brown. I crave oil to get my kicks. Attack the rack to get my fix. I love oil, oh, every ounce. Nuclear, I can't pronounce. When my twins go out for fun, I say don't drive, take Air Force One. Oh, we can't conserve it, we are just way too spoiled. Oh yeah. Globe is heating up, you know it's starting to boil. Gonna have to face it, we're addicted to oil. I saw the signs, but I don't care. Ozone holes, polluted air. A hybrid car might save the day. Each time I look, I say no way. Those cars look gay. I can't be
Iraq
saved.
Sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Mr. Cheney weighs in, and Mr. McCain weighs in.
An old Beach Boys song, Bomberan. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Anyway,
bomb, 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 bomberan.
Yeah, well, it looks like we fired the first shot today. Ships hired by U.S. military fires warning shots in Gulf. Nothing left to do but bomb Iran. Anyhow, oh, and if you didn't catch it as we were going into the break, Sean Taylor, our brilliant producer here, Ernest came on and he asked the question, you know, what are white people afraid of? And at that level, I don't honestly have an answer. But I thought, let's ask the KKK. So Wednesday of next week, a gentleman with a very, very thick southern accent is going to be on our show and is going to explain what people are afraid of. We'll see. Eddie in Detroit, assuming he shows up. Eddie in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, yeah, I'm 15. I'm a huge fan and listener of you, Tom. So,
thank you. Thanks for listening to WDTW there in Detroit.
Yep, that's it. No, I was just going to ask what you think about John Edwards, about his supporters and members of his campaign going over to the Obama ticket.
I think it's very interesting. I also, heard last week that Elizabeth Edwards may be not endorsing.
Clinton.
Well, yeah, not endorsing her, but essentially endorsing her health care plan.
Yeah, that's what I found interesting. I wonder if there's some dispute going on there too.
Hmm. Or, I didn't. The one thing that I noticed is that information did not come from Elizabeth Edwards. And
that's the thing. There is a lot of disinformation going on too. So.
Who knows? I just don't know. I do know that a lot of Edwards supporters, former Edwards supporters, and I count myself among them, are really torn.
Yeah, really torn. So you really haven't made your mind up then?
I'll tell you what I said yesterday, and this is exactly where I'm at. I believe that either one of these people would make a good president. I really and truly do. I will vote for either one of them. I will work and campaign for either one of them. Twice, on two occasions, Barack Obama has given speeches that so blew me away that just in the emotion of the moment, and looking back, I still agree with it as a good decision. After he gave his race speech in Philadelphia and after he gave a speech here in Portland, Oregon, I went to his website and I donated $100 each time. I am waiting for Hillary Clinton to give a speech that will inspire me that much. And that is not a subtle dig or anything at all like that. I'm waiting for the positive campaign. I'm waiting for her to inspire me,
which is not to say
that she doesn't inspire me. As I said, I think she'd make a great president. But tell me why I should send you money, and I may well do it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, Barack has done a lot of speeches and done a lot of things specifically. Wouldn't necessarily do that. I mean, Hillary Clinton, I don't have anything specifically against her. I mean, I am a Barack supporter, but, It's just, I think, more based off personal preference on different things and interpretation of a specific candidate.
Well said, Eddie. Thank you very much. I'm very frankly concerned with the way that her campaign's been run. And I think that if she were to come out and say, we're going to have a new tone to our campaign, we're going to take on John McCain, we're going to start talking about Democratic values instead of our opponent, Barack Obama, and gave some sort of a meaningful and substantive speech that was the essence of it, I'd probably be there on her website with my credit card in hand. We'll see. Dave in Oakland, California. Hey, Dave, listening on Green 960.
Yes, Green 960, and you are a terrific asset to the organization.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on the difference between Hillary and Obama supporters, but if I may, can I just take a moment to respond to Ernest's question?
Sure. Ernest, the African American who asked why have whites been so vicious, I guess is even a soft word, against African Americans all these years.
Right.
I'd like to recommend
two books to all your listeners. Both are books that were required reading in courses in two different universities, Michigan State and the other one, Howard. But the first is The Invention of the White Race, and the second one is The ISIS Papers. And that will give you a great insight. But essentially, in a nutshell, a false sense of superiority and entitlement has been ingrained into many whites in America. And essentially, this has been maintained by the power structure as a mechanism of control over the entire population. Many whites fear that something is being taken from them, which they feel is rightfully theirs. But essentially, as you see in this campaign, the ultra-rich will make it appear that they identify with the middle class and poor whites, and then in turn use that as a mechanism to get them to vote for them or vote against someone else.
Yeah, this is the oldest trick in the book, is the power structure, which is, as you say, a white power structure by and large, taking away from the middle class, wiping out middle class jobs, sending them overseas, destroying the economy so that they themselves can get richer and richer. And then when Joe Sixpack, you know, the white guy with the pickup truck and the gun rack in the back, and I don't mean that in a denigrating way. I'm talking about, you know, just I knew a lot of these folks in Vermont and grew up with them in Michigan, and they're not spending a lot of time at a deep level of political analysis. They're just knowing that their job is being whacked, and they're saying, you know, what's going on? And so then the power structure comes along and says, well, that's because there is affirmative action.
That's because there's black people
who want to take your job.
And they don't look any deeper than that.
They don't look any deeper than that, in not because they're stupid, but in large part because they're working their asses off trying to put food on the table for their families.
But essentially, you'll find that if you ask them what the reason is, you'll find that their gripes are imaginary, they're delusional, and have absolutely no logical reason. Now, getting back to Hillary and Obama, the major difference you'll find when you ask many supporters to say, well, I can't vote for that candidate, I'm going to vote for McCain or some Green Party candidate, you'll find that the Hillary Clinton supporters, for the most part, will give you reasons that essentially have no substance. They'll say things like, well, it's time for a woman. There's just something about Obama. I just can't put my finger on it. But with Hillary Clinton supporters, I mean, Obama supporters.
No, hang on. I just have to challenge that, because I've had Hillary Clinton supporters identify for me specific legislation that she's involved with, initiatives that she's undertaken in the Senate, things that she has pushed. She's pushed a very progressive agenda in the Senate. She's done a very good job of representing the state of New York for an entire senatorial term, and she's in her second, so that's like, what, 7 years now, and going on eight. And she has a long history of participating in these things all the way back to the Children's Defense Fund.
Yeah,
now, granted, she was doing that the same time she was on the board of Walmart.
I'm talking about why they can't support Obama, not why they support Hillary.
Oh, okay.
And so essentially, when the Obama supporters, they have many reasons not to support Hillary. And that is, for example, you say that she's been, her legislation in, as a New York State senator, she's been terrible. For example, she has supported not only free trade and outsourcing. All you have to do is put Hillary Clinton and outsourcing, or Hillary Clinton and free trade in Google, and you'll get a long list of legislation that Hillary has supported, not only in her husband's administration, but as a state senator, I mean, as a U.S. senator for New York, where she's delivered thousands of jobs to India, but at the same time delivered minimal jobs to New York, based on legislation that she's passed. Additionally, you'll find that, for example, she keeps bringing up Reverend Wright. Well, very little discussion has been made about Hillary Clinton's involvement in that right-wing fascist religious organization, The Family. And all you have to do is put that in Google, and you'll get plenty of information from organizations such as CBS, Nation Magazine, Harper's. But these are things that Hillary Clinton supporters, for the most part, they don't dig into. They seem to be supporting her on the basis of sound bites. And I hear your points in terms of the legislation and her health plan and so on and so forth. But when you look and see behind the scenes what she's actually backed as a politician, you'll find that much of it conflicts with what she says she supports.
I can give you those points on both sides. Barack Obama is a supporter of nuclear power. I think that's absolutely wrong.
Does he say he's against it? I mean, is there a conflict in what he says and what he's actually doing? You don't find that to be the case as much with Hillary Clinton.
I don't think that he's had an opportunity to vote on it. Hillary Clinton supported the bankruptcy bill. I think it was a terrible thing. I mean, I can give you the talking points on both sides. Neither one of these people are solid. Neither one of them. Let's just be honest. Neither one of these two are solid progressive candidates. They are both relatively centrist Democrats.
But remember, Barack Obama lost the Ohio primary largely on the basis of the false allegation that was made against him regarding secret deals in Canada and NAFTA.
When in fact
Hillary was being investigated at the time. And isn't it ironic that we find that the head of her campaign, Mark Penn, and her husband, Bill Clinton, were being paid by the Colombian government to support this free trade agreement that now Bush is trying to shove through, which is something Hillary says she's been totally against, but all of a sudden we find that Bill Clinton receives a $35 million contribution to his favorite charity by the president of Colombia.
Yeah, I got it. And I was horrified to see NAFTA being used against Barack Obama in Ohio the way that it was, and particularly knowing that Hillary Clinton had been a supporter of it in the past. But the bottom line is that one of these two is going to become the Democratic nominee. Our job is to push them in a more progressive direction, not to destroy them.
The Tom Hartman Program, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. You're tuned to Tom Hartman Nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but I have some friends at GM. Now, I know what you're thinking, but this is a good thing. Who better than me to judge whether GM's focus on new technologies is working or not? They're trying to help the country use less gas and eventually no gas. Yes, that's true. So for the last 2 weeks, they let me drive the North American Car of the Year, the Chevy Malibu. It looks great, and it felt great behind the wheel. Now, given today's gas prices, I was a little leery to drive a strictly gas-propelled car, but the four-cylinder Malibu has an EPA-estimated 30 miles to the gallon on the highway. This has to do with variable valve timing in the engine, and it works, squeezing every last mile out of a gallon of gas. Not only is the Malibu a gas saver, it looks great inside and out, more like a luxury sedan. Seriously, this is a great car, and it's one of the quietest rides I've experienced in a long, long time. Find out more about the Chevy Malibu at gm.com/explore. That's gm.com/explore.
Attention, truth seekers.
What's been the result here, truth seekers? Huh?
The Mike Malloy Show.
As the nation says, nothing but obvious failures have been the result. A crashing economy.
A rotting infrastructure.
A failed war. A less safe world.
It's Mike Malloy.
More Americans saying their nation is on the wrong track than any time since pollsters started measuring.
Evening, 8 to 11.
The conservative movement.
AM 620 KPOJ.
May 20th isn't just about Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Portland will also choose its next city council.
I'm John Branham, and I'm running for Portland City Council. I want to preserve what we love about our city.
I love that I can raise my kids in a safe neighborhood near parks and strong schools.
I love picking up fresh produce at the farmer's market.
I love that I started my own business here.
I love that I can bike to work year-round.
Portland needs leaders who can bring people together and get things done. John Branham works hard for our schools. As Director of Development for Portland Public Schools, John has helped raise millions of dollars for our kids. He believes strong schools are the core of neighborhoods and essential for businesses to locate and stay stay here. As the son of a janitor, John understands the value of a good job. As a community leader, he has helped small businesses locate here and kept jobs local. John Branham wants Portland to be a city that works for everyone.
I'm John Branham, and I'm asking for your vote for Portland City Council. Paid for by John for PX. As a certified campaign finance fund candidate, I, John Branham, take personal responsibility for the content of this campaign ad.
Who do you trust for advice about your vehicles? With average new car prices approaching $30,000, gas at $4, and the economic and environmental impact of an unmaintained vehicle, it's more important than ever to keep your current ride in top shape. A coherent maintenance program tailored to you puts off the day you'll need to buy a new vehicle and will save hundreds or thousands of dollars in the meantime. Weighed against the alternative of car payments, it's easy to justify the cost of maintaining your current vehicles. Three tips on starting a maintenance plan. Get a comprehensive vehicle inspection. Whether it's your current vehicle or one you want to buy, knowing precisely its condition will help you make better decisions. Decide how long you intend to own a vehicle. This allows you to determine the maintenance that's appropriate. And make a plan and stick to it. Have the inspections and services as scheduled and fix problems as they happen. Don't allow a list of problems to grow. Our maintenance and inspection programs keep your vehicle safe, breakdown free, and operating at their best. Working together, we can add years of quality life to your vehicles. Tongwire Automotive Services. Please call us at 503-230-2300 or visit tongwire.com.
If I go shopping, it's only for guy stuff.
If I go shopping, it's only for guy stuff.
Like auto parts.
Yeah.
And accessories. One sec.
Yellow. Yeah. Hi, hon. A gallon? 2%? Okay, yeah.
Meeting adjourned.
When it comes to brand name auto parts and expert advice, shucks rules. So make the right call.
Yellow.
Shucks Auto Supply.
Pick up our in-store flyer for great savings throughout the store now through Sunday.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to our executive producer, Sean Taylor, to Lauren Kirshner, Chris Rosen, Sean Kensing, Marcus Hillman at Air America, to Sue Nethercutt, the folks in our chat room, and Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our website, to our affiliates, our affiliated radio stations, our sponsors, and to you for listening. Thanks so much. You all make it possible. And special thanks to Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, both for helping get me to and back from Darfur safely and also for providing us with a daily dose of reality and good, clean insight into the events of the world. Ellen, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. My focus today is going to be a little bit on military and the White House. And first of all, there was, as you know, a briefing late yesterday afternoon that dealt with what really took place with this whole issue of the Syria and the bombing of the facility. Now, there's one issue that the press is very skeptical and should be, because, well, was it really a reactor? Were they really building it? Were the North Koreans really involved? Was this another weapons of mass destruction issue? Then there's the second issue that Pete Hoekstra has brought up, and he's a Republican, saying, why, if this was the case, and he believes it may be the case, why was there absolutely no briefing in Congress for 8 months? So either this took place and they decided not to brief Congress, or it really isn't much of a threat at all and they're making it up. People don't have the answer to that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And we've been lied to so many times. We've been deceived so many times. We've had stuff amped and hyped, you know, from Pat Tillman to Jessica Lynch to big things, you know, to anthrax and weapons of mass destruction and mushroom clouds, that I think our skepticism is legitimate.
Well, okay. So then we move on from there to Mike Mullen's briefing today, which our very own Pentagon correspondent was with. And by the way, she will be traveling with the Secretary of Defense next week as the pool reporter to several areas in the South and also to Mexico for a night with the Secretary of Defense. So that's going to kind of be interesting. We're going to have lots of reports for you next week, actually, from her and then I will be in Dubai, and Richard Miller will be in Afghanistan. So we'll be in lots of places next week. But Mike Mullen said that he had extreme concern about the increasing lethal and malign influence of the Iranian government in Iraq. He said that despite pledges by the Iranian government to decrease activities inside of Iraq, that Iraq has gone the other way. He said that he has no expectations for a conflict with Iran. Did I say Iraq? I meant Iran. In the immediate future, and that a third conflict would be extremely stressing to the force. But he said that it would be a mistake to think that we are out of combat capability.
So how does this tie in with the widespread perception right now that Petraeus has been moved into this position as director of CENTCOM, head of CENTCOM, in large part because the guy that he replaced, I think it was Admiral Fallon, wasn't it, said that an attack on Iran would not happen on his watch. And so now his watch is over, and Petraeus, who basically says, you know, Bush says jump and Petraeus says how high, Petraeus is now moved into that position.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, everybody thinks, and in fact, Harry Reid said today that they expect that Petraeus will be confirmed. So you've got a confirmation of the Petraeus going in, and then you are hearing Syria, Iran, Syria.
And this big story in today's paper about the weapons in Iraq that can be tracked back to Iran, and they were just manufactured in the last couple of months, and this is proof of Iranian involvement. There are weapons all over the United States that were manufactured in the United States. Does that mean, all over the world that were manufactured in the United States, and many of them are found in conflicts. They weren't sold by our government, though. They were sold by private arms dealers. Certainly there are private arms dealers in Iran. Do you think that there is... That this is a credible, beyond what you think, what's the broad consensus in Washington D.C. that this is credible, that Ahmadinejad actually is aggressively arming the Iraqi, or for that matter, Iran and Iraq have official trade relations, and there are Iranian banks open in Iraq, and Iran is invested in Iraq. They're friends, these two countries.
You know, when I was in UAE, I took a picture of the Iranian bank there, and it is a huge modern bank building. It is huge.
Yeah. So to what extent are the weapons of Iranian manufacture being found in Iraq simply the result of normal trade between these two countries, which might include Iran supplying weapons even to the Iraqi army, versus to what extent are they, the sinister... the Iranians are bringing weapons into Iraq to use against U.S. forces, period, end of discussion.
I don't have the answer to that, but I can tell you that we're certainly hearing the drums beat out of the Pentagon.
Yeah, so the latter is the case that's being made, whether or not it's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So what else is going on?
A couple other interesting things. There's this housing stimulus bill. And there apparently is a Reid and McConnell deal to somehow get this package going that would really help move this $4 billion for cities to purchase, rehabilitate foreclosed properties. And that's done, but now they're thinking of what they want to do to help individuals. And apparently their fears about worsening the economy, and this is making McConnell and Reid talk.
Good, because working with individuals should have been their first priority. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Coming up Monday, Yaron Brook, president of the Ayn Rand Institute, and I are going to mix it up about the world food crisis, plus Lenny Johansson of CEI telling us that we should be adapting to climate change instead of trying to prevent it. And Don Siegelman will be on our program Tuesday, the former governor of Alabama. It's the end of the hour. Hey, don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. Tag, you're it. Get out there, get active. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit TomHartmanRadio.com.